Let's take our Bibles and open up to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. As you find your place there, please stand in respect to the Word of God as we read just a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. Now, he's making reference to Sarah and Abraham and the family. It tells us here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek such a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Father, we thank you for your word. As we spend a few moments in it this morning, we ask that you would bless us, help us to gain understanding from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I want to talk about pilgrims. And so that's why I wanted our young people to be up here. I'm sure it was just a mass email from the Christian Law Association. But in that email, they mentioned that in so many of our school systems today, our young people are not taught the reason why we celebrate Thanksgiving. And so I want to make sure the kids that attend our church, the young people that attend our church, understand what it's all about. And so let me just, if you're under the age of 16, if you would like to answer that question, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? What do we do it for? Yes, Anna. Okay, to celebrate the Indians and the pilgrims coming together. Anyone else have an answer? Under the age of 16, yes. Okay, it's all about having a great time with family. Is that... with your family, okay? What else is why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? What is the whole purpose of the holiday, if you're under the age of 16? Okay, we'll go with Elijah. Okay? They made it a holiday to celebrate what God had given them. And so that sounds a lot closer. See, this is the reason why I thought it would be important, and I apologize to Ralph and Lisa. I'm sure they came prepared for a lesson today, but I thought the more that I thought about this, I thought that our young people need to understand what Thanksgiving is all about. Here's another question, and you've got to remember if you've answered a question, and again, you have to be under the age of 16 to answer. What year did the pilgrims come over? Aiden? 1860. That's a good answer. It's not right, though. It was the year 1620. They sailed across the ocean in a boat. And we think of our ocean-going vessels today and our cruise ships, and we think, boy, that wasn't all that bad. But keep in mind that when the pilgrims rented passage on the boats that they traveled on, that they got stuck in the cargo holds. Now, who in here is... is anyone 5.5 feet? That gives you the extra inch. Okay. So you have to be our object lesson and stand up in the middle if you don't mind. Okay. This is how tall their deck was. And so, if I'm a pilgrim, guess what I can't do as I'm traveling across the ocean? I can't stand up. So they were in cramped quarters. Now, normally that's not a problem, because normally they can go up on deck and stretch their legs. The only problem as the pilgrims came across the ocean is that there were a bunch of storms. And so the passengers were required to stay below deck in the cargo hold with a 5.5 foot tall ceiling. And so they couldn't get out. The kids couldn't get out and run and play. Kids, how would you, Parker, how would you like that? If mom said, son, sit down, sit still,
and be quiet. Now, it's bad enough hearing that the first time, isn't it? How about hearing that for a week? How about 3 months that it took them to travel across the ocean? Hearing that every day. Son, sit down, be quiet, and don't move. Don't bother people. Because they were all stuck under there. And the whole journey, they were stuck for 2 months, 102 people in this cargo space that was called the tween decks. Now, the problem that hit a lot of people as they traveled was disease. And so people would die. And one of the sailors taunted them because, well, let me ask you this. We'll ask the question again if you're 16 years or younger. You've got the pilgrims are stuck in this deck. What do you suppose they did to pass their time? What did they do to pass their time? Yes, in bed. Sleep? I have to imagine they did some of that. Thank you, Brother Scott. What else do you think they did? Dallas? I don't think they played rock, paper, scissors. I don't know if it was invented. You ought to look that up. Find out when rock, paper, scissors was invented. Yes, Emma. They read the Bible. I have to believe they did that a lot. Okay, Cassie? They sang. And that's the one I was looking for. They sang the Psalms. And because of all that, what the shipmen, sailors said, that noise of the Psalms, one of them was provoked where he went down to the pasture and said, I can't wait for the day when one of you dies from disease and I get to throw your body overboard. Well, guess what happened? He died of disease and they had to throw him overboard. But the way God providentially prepared the journey, and we see that in several different cases, how God had prepared providentially for them ahead of time. That same ship that they were on had previously carried booze or wine. And because of the ocean sloshing it around, that had gotten all that alcohol had gotten all over the deck. And what it did is it sanitized it. It cleaned it. And so through the whole journey, only one of the 102 pilgrims perished from disease. Only one. Which is very unusual. And so God just took care of them. Now, when they got to where they landed, now who can tell me, 15 and under, where did they land? Okay, let's go with Aiden and back. That's a good guess, but that's not it. Dallas? They landed at Plymouth Rock. We all know the story. But did you know that's not where they were trying to get? Does anybody know? Do you know where they were trying to get? Yes. Yeah. India? That was Columbus. Go ahead. If they answer a question, that'll work. They don't have to be right. Yes. Where are they trying to get? Not England. Okay. Ayana. Jamestown? You're close. Jamestown was in the Virginia colony, and they're trying to make it to the Virginia colony. They're trying to get south of what we know as Massachusetts today, which is where Plymouth Rock is. And so they were trying to get south, but they didn't. Now, there were two reasons why they didn't make it to Virginia. Can anybody tell me a reason why they didn't make it there? Anna? Because of the diseases? No, that's a good guess, though. Cassie? Storms, that's one correct answer. That's one reason why they didn't make it to Virginia. Storms blew them off course. Now, the second reason you probably don't know, but there were other Englishmen over in England that were trying to get to the same place the pilgrims wanted to go. And so they bribed the sailors to take them someplace else. Now, little did they know, nor did the sailors know, nor did the pilgrims even know, that if they had dropped the pilgrims off where the pilgrims wanted to land, they probably would have been wiped out immediately by hostile Indians.
But where they were landed, or where they were dropped off at Plymouth Rock and in that area, disease had wiped out most of the Indians over the last couple of years. And so when they landed, there were fields already cleared out and ready to go to just simply be planted. And the Indians there were not hostile because there were very few of them. And so again, we see God's hand of providence on the pilgrims in their journey to the New World. Now, another thing that God did in his providence is he sent an Indian to them the following spring. Who can tell me? This should be an easy one. What was that Indian's name? I'm giving an opportunity if someone didn't raise their hand. What Indian helped the pilgrims? Okay, Elijah, I saw your hand. Squanto. Now, Squanto had been captured and taken to England. He learned English. He was fluent in more than one language. So he was able to teach them how to do what? Hey, Anna? Plant corn. Very good. And so they planted corn. Now, in the middle of the summer, something happened to their corn crop. It was all dying because there was a drought. Who can tell me what a drought is if you're under the age of 16? Yes. Exactly. Very good. A drought is when there's no rain. And as I said, it was getting so bad that the corn crop was very much in danger. And so what do you suppose the pilgrims decided to do? They had a day of what? Yes. They probably were trying to hunt, but that's not the right answer. They called for a special day. Aiden, I can't wait to hear your answer on this one. Okay, it was a little early for harvesting, but that's a very good answer. They had a day of, yes. They certainly had a day of no rain, but that's not the right answer. They had a day of praying and fasting. Kaylee. And so they prayed. Now, the Indians that are there are watching them, and they're noticing there's something different. Now, Squanto had already trusted the Lord as his Savior. But as the pilgrims had their day of fasting and prayer, the Indians were observing this, and by the end of the day, God sent rain. And it wasn't a storm. In fact, the Indians made note of this, that when they had their powwows for rain, that the rain would just pour down and would ruin the crop. But God sent a soft rain, and it didn't destroy the crop, and the crop obviously flourished. And so at the end of the year, they had a wonderful harvest, and the pilgrims invited the Indians to share in the bounty. But the reason they had thanksgiving was to thank God for his provision. It wasn't the reason Thanksgiving was celebrated wasn't in gratitude to the Indians. It was in gratitude to God. And so, young people, if anybody asks you the reason for Thanksgiving, that's the reason. It is thanksgiving to God for his provision. And it actually wasn't celebrated nationally for quite some time. After the Revolutionary War, President Washington called for a day of Thanksgiving after all the articles of our founding documents were completed. And so our nation had a day of thanksgiving to God for his provision to the country. And then it was after the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a day for thanksgiving to God, again, for his grace and mercy and provision. And it wasn't until, let me check my date here, make sure I give you the right day. Well, let me ask it as a question. Who can guess this? What year was it when Congress officially made Thanksgiving a national holiday? You have to be under 18. Guy knows, I'm sure. Hey, Anna, you want to give this one a whirl? 1786 is a good guess, but that's a little bit early. Aiden? That's a good guess, but that's a little early. Kaylee? 1700? That is way early. Got to be after that. Okay, one more guess. It's definitely in the fall. All right, Guy, what year was it? Oh, no, you're still way early. You're really close. Yeah, Austin? No, way too early. They all want to raise their hands because they all want a piece of candy now. 1941 is when Thanksgiving became a national holiday to be celebrated every year. And so that's the true origin of Thanksgiving. And I don't have, because I knew we wouldn't have time, but the reason why we as a nation celebrate Thanksgiving isn't to celebrate the pilgrims. It isn't to celebrate the Indians. It's not to celebrate the coming to the new world. Thanksgiving is to thank Almighty God for His provision to us as a nation. And so young people, don't ever forget that. And the reason they don't teach you that at school is because they feel that under separation of church and state, which isn't really what they think it is, but they don't feel they have the liberty to tell you the truth of what this holiday is all about. And so teachers don't want to lose their jobs, so they tell you what they're told they can tell you. But many of them, if not most of them, know the real reason of Thanksgiving. That's what I just told you. It's to thank God for His provision. Okay? Now let's get back to the message. And we only have a few minutes. And this is by intent, because I know our kids are probably close to the end of their rope. But we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Sarah. We're talking about Isaac and Jacob and all those that died in faith, not having received the promises. But it's interesting, at the end of verse number 13 in Hebrews chapter 11, they profess that they were strangers and what on earth? Strangers and pilgrims. And so when we think back to the 1600s, they were not the only pilgrims. In fact, there's modern-day pilgrims. I'm a pilgrim. The question is, are you a pilgrim? Are you heading for a new city? Are you heading for a new home? Is heaven your home? If it is, then you're a pilgrim. The old song says that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And that is so true. Now we have houses in which we live, or apartments in which we dwell here on this earth. But ultimately our home is in heaven. And so we are just pilgrims. We're passing through a strange land to our homeland. Now there's three things that we learn about pilgrims in the passage in front of us. From these individuals, the first thing we find is that, and they're all going to start with the letter S, so this first one's going to sound maybe a little curious, but it's to keep it starting with S for the alliteration. But a pilgrim shouts about their new country. It tells us in verse number 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Declare plainly. Now, how do they declare plainly that they're seeking a new country? Now, there's several ways. The first way, perhaps, that they declare plainly is the priorities in their life. What is important to you? If you're a pilgrim this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, you are a pilgrim whether you recognize it or not. And so the question is, do you declare plainly through the priorities in your life? What's important to you? Is God important? Is heaven important? Are eternal matters important in your life? Or are you all wrapped up with the things in this world? Do you declare plainly like a pilgrim in your priorities? How about in the choices you make each day? Do you choose to do things that are godly, or do you choose to do things that are worldly or fleshly? What stories do you choose to listen to or to read or to watch on television? What do you choose for your entertainment? How do you choose to spend the finances that God gives you to live on? Do you declare plainly in the choices and in the priorities? And how about your voice? This one certainly can't be ignored. There was a thing a while back called lifestyle evangelism that was faddish for a little while, and the whole concept was to live as a Christian in front of the lost so that they can see what being a Christian is all about and want that. And there's something to be said for that, but the one defect of lifestyle evangelism, it left off the voice. God commanded in the Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature. You can't preach unless you use your voice. Do you with your voice proclaim or declare plainly that you're a pilgrim, that you're on your way to heaven? When's the last time you said publicly, "Praise the Lord"? When did you give thanks to God in front of lost people for anything that He did in your life. So often Christians don't do that. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed because we're not declaring plainly that we're pilgrims. In fact, we're not saying that we're pilgrims at all, and people don't know that we're saved. When's the last time we talked about church? When's the last time we talked about doing anything for God? Or when's the last time we shared something from the Word of God? You see, a pilgrim will shout about the new country. And you know, there's a lot to shout about when you think about heaven and about God and what He's done for us. The second thing we learn about pilgrims from this passage of Scripture, not only do they shout about a new country, but they also shed their previous country. It tells us that in verse number 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now when it says, if they had been mindful, it doesn't mean they forgot Ur of the Chaldees, which is where Abraham came from. I'm sure his memory didn't go blank as soon as he passed the city limits about what his life had been like. But what God is telling us here is they weren't concerned about what life was like back in the old days and in the old country. He was more concerned about preparing himself for the new country and learning to live according to the laws of that new land that he was looking for, whose builder and maker is God. And so he didn't get caught up in the things of the world. He shed the previous country and was trying to conform his life to that of the new. The third thing we learn about pilgrims here in this passage of Scripture, not only do they shout about the new country, shed their previous country, but they also seek a better country. Verse 16, I love this verse. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. God has prepared for you a city. We read about that city, the street of gold, the walls of jasper, the foundations of various colored gemstones. The city that has no need of the sun, no temple there. A city with a pure river of water of life. What a wonderful place God has prepared for us. We've got a better country. Now that's not to say there's not a lot of nice things in this world. There are a lot of things. A lot of things I enjoy. Vanilla ice cream. Need I say more? Or talking about this time of year in which we find ourselves, pumpkin pie and whipped cream. You can't tell I have a sweet tooth, can you? Because you know the next one that's coming is the Captain. Captain Crunch. A good wholesome breakfast that we all ought to enjoy every day. And your waistline will show it. But God's given us a lot of good things, not just taste, but He's given us love and families. He's given us a church family. He's given us the ability to see and to hear and just all the things we experience with the five senses. There's a lot of good things in this world. But if you compare this world to the better country, we'll wonder, man, why did I hold on so tightly? Why didn't I eat Captain Crunch pumpkin pie and whipped cream and vanilla ice cream for every meal and gotten here quicker? That's what we'll think when we get to heaven. We try to cling so tightly because of that self-preservation mode God has implanted within each one of us. And I'm as guilty as everybody trying to live healthy and do right and trying to live as long as I can. But when I get to heaven, I'm wondering if I'm going to wonder, man, why couldn't have I gotten here earlier? Because it's so much better than what we have down here, as good as this is. That's what pilgrims say, there's a better place. And so we need to live like pilgrims. When we think of the pilgrims back in the 1600s, they did all of these things. They turned their back on everything to start afresh in what they believed to be a better country so they could have religious liberty to worship as they saw fit. Now they hadn't advanced enough. They weren't Baptists, so they didn't believe in religious liberty for all, but they at least wanted it for themselves. Folks, we need to live like pilgrims. Maybe you're here this morning. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to close in prayer in just a minute and we'll go into the invitation. But maybe you're here this morning, young person or an old person, a senior saint. But maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm a pilgrim. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to wind up in heaven, but I'd sure like to. I'd sure like to. I know it's a better place, especially when you consider the alternative is the lake of fire." Didn't talk about that this morning, but it's real. God has warned us about it. He said that we don't automatically go to heaven, but we do automatically go to the lake of fire. Maybe you're here this morning, whether you're a young person or an adult, and you'd want to have me pray for you that you'd wind up in heaven. You'd say, "Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved, or I know I'm not saved, but I want to be. Would you just slip your hand up? I'll just pray for you. I'm not going to come knocking on your door this afternoon or tomorrow or sometime this week. I'll just take it up before God that God will give you," thank you, "anybody else, that God will allow you to heaven." Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? We've had three hands raised. Thank you. Anybody else? "I'd like you to pray for me that I could go to heaven. I really want to go, and I'm just not sure." Anybody else? Maybe you're here this morning and you know that for a fact, that you're on your way to heaven. And you'd like to just have me pray for you that, "Pastor, I haven't necessarily been the best pilgrim I could be. I'd like to be better." It's not saying that you're wicked and backslidden. It just means that God has placed a desire in your heart to be a better pilgrim, declaring more plainly, living more for the better country, shedding the things of this world. "Pastor, pray for me that God will help me to do better in that area of my life." Thank you. See several hands. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. As soon as I say amen, we'll go ahead and stand, and Jackie will begin to play. We'll keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart, you come as soon as I say amen. Father, we're grateful for the pilgrims who came and the things that they accomplished and how you paved the way for them in so many ways. What a privilege it is to live in this nation that was founded upon your word, founded upon faith in you. Father, help us to carry the torch to the next generation, that Christianity would be vibrant, revival would break forth in our great nation that you've blessed so abundantly. So, Father, I pray for these Christians who have raised their hands wanting to be a better pilgrim. Father, I pray that your grace would be shed abundantly in their lives and upon mine as well, to be a better testimony, a better lighthouse, to declare more plainly that there is a better country to be sought, and that there is a hell to shun. And Father, I pray for these that raise their hand that would like to know 100% for sure that heaven will be their home, that this better country that I've touched on this morning that your word speaks of would be their eternal destiny. Father, I pray that during the invitation you'd give them the courage to step out of their seat, get my attention, and allow someone to show them how they can know for sure from your word. Well, thank you for all that you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.